أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لقد سمع الله قول الذين قالوا إن الله فقير ونحن أغنياء، سنكتب ما قالوا وقتلهم الأنبياء بغير حق، ونقول ذوقوا عذاب الحريق. ذلك بما قدمت أيديكم وأن الله ليس بظلام للعبيد. الذين قالوا إن الله عهد إلينا ألا نؤمن لرسول حتى يأتينا بقربان تأكله النار. قل قد جاءكم رسل من قبلي بالبينات وبالذي قلتم فلم قتلتموهم إن كنتم صادقين. كل نفس ذائقة الموت، وإنما توفون أجوركم يوم القيامة، فمن زحزح عن النار وأدخل الجنة فقد فاز، وما الحياة الدنيا إلا متاع الغرور. صدق الله العظيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Blessings and salutations upon the masterpiece Muhammad ibn Abdullah al-Hashimi al-Qurashi. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless him and all his companions, and may he grant every single one of us blessings and goodness, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect our progeny, those to come up to the day of Qiyamah. May Allah protect us all and keep us steadfast on the goodness that we have. Ameen. Honored ulama, brothers and sisters in Islam, this evening's topic is death. Your time has come. The system of informing the community of the death of a person is well known to us. We know when the phone rings at a specific time, in the middle of the night, it is either a disaster or it is news of the death of someone. Do you realize that one day Colombo will be buzzing because you have died? Your name will be the name that will be circulating. The radio will have your name. Have you thought of it? It is definitely coming. And thereafter, people will gather at your house, expressing condolences to your family. It's happening very soon. And thereafter, people will be preparing your body. How to wash it? Who will wash it? It will be washed and enshrouded in the kafan. Your body. It's happening. And thereafter, it will be taken to the place where the janazah prayers are read, and they will straighten the rows and try and ensure that there are an odd number of rows. And thereafter the imam, after you are placed in the front, will say, Allahu Akbar. And everybody will be behind saying Allahu Akbar. For whom? For you. It's a reality, it's coming. Thereafter they will carry you, when the prayers are over, to your grave, which is already located and allocated. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows exactly where you are going to be buried and myself. And thereafter, we will be taken on the shoulders of people uttering different du'as, different supplications. Bismillah, ala millati rasulillah, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, wa ashhadu anna muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. All these prayers uttered. And thereafter we will be brought to the graveside and placed very carefully into the grave, with the right side facing the Qibla, with the head tilting slightly towards it. They will then seal the grave and fill it up with what? With soil, with the same soil that was taken from it in order to create that grave. They dug it. Now they will fill it back. You are going to be buried. Yes, you. And people will cry. Your family members will cry. Maybe your children, your wife, your mother, your father, if they are alive, or relatives, friends. Some might be cursing you if you owe them money and various other owings. If we were good people, then those around us will cry at the loss. And if we were bad, people will be happy. They will say, at last, that man is gone, at last. Now there will be no trouble on our street, no more. The music played so loudly, disturbing the neighbors will say, oh, mashallah, he died, oh, subhanallah. We don't want that to happen to us, and this is why we need to lead our lives in such a way that when we pass away, we are dearly missed. So people can supplicate a good word and say, Ya Allah, grant him paradise. That word is enough. If 1,000, 2,000 people have to say that, do you think Allah is not going to answer the call? If that call was asked in a genuine way, with a good heart, it will be answered. At least a few people who have called that call. Thereafter, it is important for us to know what will happen. Some time will pass and we will be forgotten. We will be forgotten. Nobody will know we existed. Do you know this? We might say, no, my wife will remember me. No, she will also go. Then who will remember you? My children will remember me. They will also go. Then who will remember you? Can you name me? 50 people who lived on your street 200 years ago? The answer is no. They were just as big managers as you are. Sometimes they were more mightier and stronger, with greater physical ability, maybe even more wealthy sometimes. We don't even know who they were. Do we? The answer is no. We have no clue. Who were the people who died 200 years ago? Maybe there might be a handful of very important people who left a big mark that are mentioned in the history. But the bulk, nobody will remember me or you. No one. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us goodness. That is the reality of death. Al-mawtu babun wa kullun nasi dakhiluhu. Death is a door that every single person shall enter. We are meant to be concerned about death to the degree that we prepare for it. By doing what? Let me explain. How many years are we going to spend after death? How many years do we have to live for after that? Which is, I know I spoke about, I said death. And someone might say, why do you say how many years are you going to live for after that? The reason is the definition of death for a Muslim is the beginning of the eternal life. Death is the beginning of a life that will now not end. It won't end. You died. Death comes once only. You don't die two times. You die once. And this life that we have now is all a means of gathering whatever we can in terms of goodness so that it can help us there. We prepare for our lives here in this world, which on average, about 60 to 70 years, according to the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, أَعْمَارُ الْأُمَّةِ مَا بَيْنَ السِّتِّينَ إِلَى السَّبْعِينَ. The average lifespan of the members of my ummah is between 60 and 70 years. So we prepare. How much do we prepare? Let me take you through that avenue for a moment. When we are born, our parents look after us, they send us to school. To do what? So that we can qualify and get a job. To do what? So that we can live. We can get married and have a few children, inshallah, and have a home and so on. Have a good life. Then, when we have our children, the circle starts again. We prepare for them. And we are working for them. So how many years does it take for us to prepare to live for a few more years? On average, half our lives are spent in preparation to live the other half. Up to the age of 25 to 30, man is still at university and graduating and getting postgraduate and doing this and doing that. Let us be more reasonable and say 25 years old, you start earning a nice salary on average. So it took us 25 years of studying, 25 years of going to school every other day. I say other day because we take out the holidays and so on. 25 years of spending money. We pay a fee in order to learn a book, in order to be able to live another 30 or 40 or 50 years of our lives. We will go to university to become an accountant or a lawyer. We will study huge books. We pay the university. We spend sleepless nights. Is that not correct? When the examinations are coming, we spend sleepless nights. And we prepare so seriously. If we are to fail once, we will try again. And we will pay again and go back again. All this is for what? We don't even know. We might die whilst we are in university. We might die before we get our first rupee or dollar. We might die before we earn, before we marry, before we have children. We might die before we see any fruit of that effort of ours. But we are Muslims. We need to understand we are ready to suffer so much, to work so hard, even after we have learnt our books. We go to work at 8 o'clock in the morning, come back at 4 o'clock if we are lucky. If you are unlucky, come back at 5. And if you are even more unlucky, the traffic will block you, you will be back home at 7 or 8. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us fortunate people. So we work from 8 to 5 on average in order to be able to live the weekend and the life between 5 o'clock and the following 8 o'clock. That's what it is. Have we ever thought of it? But we work so hard in order to get that. Yet we as Muslimin have a life after death. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, death will come. Your time has come already. Because for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, 5 years, 10 years does not make a difference. It will pass like a flash. Ask those who are elderly here, summarize your life. They will give you 5 sentences, 10 sentences, the main crux of their lives. They will tell you it passed like a flash. All of us know, the hadith says, يَتَقَارَبُ الزَّمَانِ, closer to the hour, closer to the last time or the last day, time will come closer. It will crumple. Crumple meaning, a year will pass by like a month will pass by like a week will pass by like a day, and a day will pass by like an hour, and hour will pass by like a minute. Today, we have got to that stage. Before you know it, it is 2011. Few years ago, it was 1999. I'm sure most of us recall that. 1999. There was a big deal made of Y2K and so on. We are already 11 years down the line. 10 years gone. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding. Time is ticking. But the preparation is what is more important. Islam views death as a gift for those who have been doing good. تُحْفَةُ الْمُؤْمِنِ الْمَوْتُ. The Prophet, peace be upon him, says, the gift of a believer who has been working hard, who has been doing good deeds, is death. Because there is no point in a person working all day, collecting their salaries, not being able to withdraw that cash to use that salary. When Allah promises you that if you read your salah, you will have so much reward. If you give your zakah, you will have so much reward. When you say good words to your spouse, you have so much reward. When you solve problems, you have a huge reward. When you smile at others and speak well with people and be of help and assistance, you will have a massive reward. Where are we going to see all these rewards? We will see parts of this reward in this world. But the bulk of it, you need to get to the stage in order to collect your reward. What is the stage? When a child works all year, at the end of the year they are informed you are winning a prize. They get very happy. And the prize giving will be held at the school on this day, at this time. They will have to go to the school at that day, at the time, to attend the prize giving, to shake the hand of the guest of honor and to get that prize. Without going to the prize giving, if we were to leave the school before that, we are not going to get a prize. So in order for us to get our prize of the work and the effort we've been engaged in for so many years, we need to first get to the prize giving, which is through death. When you die, you will see all the gold and silver coins, that which is more than that. Why do I give the example of gold and silver coins? Because sometimes in my lectures I say that you see the prayer that we pray 5 times a day, if we were to see the reward of it, we would remain in prayer throughout the day. Say the reward was 1 ounce gold coin for every raka'ah that you read, though it is more than that. But let me just give you an example. If the reward was 1 ounce gold coin for every raka'ah or unit of prayer that you read, and as we read the raka'ah, we find one gold coin next to us, and our heap is heaping. I think for dhuhr, we would make a total of 40 or 50 or 60 raka'at. And at the end of the day, we would say, I have collected 300 gold coins today just through salah. Wallahi, what we get with Allah is much more than the gold coins. Why then do we find ourselves not even fulfilling the salah? Look at us. This is an encouragement. When we talk on death, we speak of everything good. And we remind ourselves to abstain from everything bad. Because then our death will be easy. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for us. So when we get to the life after death, we will be given all our gifts. And this is why the gift of a true believer is death. This evening I'd like to look at what the Quran says. What the Quran says about death. There is a verse that I read moments ago before you, and I'm sure most of us picked it up. كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذائقة الموت. Every soul shall taste death. Everyone is going to taste it. Every single one. Nobody can say, no, myself, no, I'm very healthy. Not me. The healthiest of the healthy, they go. When your time is up, you will go. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, and the verses are found in more than one place in the Quran. In Surah Ali Imran, in Surah Al-Anbiya, and in Surah Al-Ankabut. The same verse is repeated again. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us why He created death, and why He created life in the first place. Allah says in Surah Al-Mulk,
الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْغَفُورُ.
It is He, Allah, who has created death and life in order to test you who from amongst you has better deeds. For indeed Allah is all-powerful, or most forgiving. Look at how He says all-powerful, most forgiving. So firstly, Allah tells us subhanahu wa ta'ala that I have created death and life in order to test the quality of your deeds. When you are fulfilling salah, fulfill it properly. Some of us, we have been reading salah for 20 years, 10 years, 30 years. We don't even know what is the meaning of سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدَهُ. And we hear it every day. And we say it every day so many times for so many years. Is that fair? When we are prepared to study a book of accountancy so big, and we are prepared to pay in order to study it, why can we not study the book that will take us to heaven and the words that will definitely result in our entry into heaven, and we don't even need to pay for that? And they are repeated on a daily basis. If I were to tell you that, you know, we need a payment of $500 a year in order for you to have a huge palace here in Colombo, you will look at me and say, that is very cheap. I think it won't be a palace. Let's go and see it first. But we will be ready to make a payment. Every month we will say, cut it off my salary automatically. I don't want to lose the house. Why then are we not prepared to make payments via good deeds for our palace in Jannah, in paradise? Every time you abstain from a sin, you tell Allah, speak to Allah, Ya Allah, my soul wanted to commit this sin, but because of you, I didn't. Count it as a payment towards my paradise. In paradise, you will get much greater than whatever you wanted to commit. Someone wanted to steal and they abstained because they feared Allah. Allah will give them better than what they were going to steal. Someone wanted to commit adultery and they abstained because of Allah. Allah will give them much better than that. So everything we do is a payment for the akhirah. And sometimes it is default. When a person does not make a payment for a house, what happens? They are penalized. Sometimes they might lose that property. So the same applies if we are to commit a sin and we are not to make the payments we are meant to be making. Like we abstain from one of the five salah, our payment is short. So what will happen? We may be penalized. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, still I have mercy on those who repent if they change their bad ways. It's never too late. Late is not a word for a Muslim. For as long as you are alive, for as long as you are breathing, for as long as Allah has given you life, it is not too late to turn to Him. Ya Allah, forgive us. Ya Allah, grant us a new beginning. Ya Allah, grant us a life full of obedience. Ameen. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْغَفُورُ. Allah is powerful, which means He can punish you, but He is forgiving. with the ability, he still will forgive. You know, when there is a big man who has slapped a small boy, the small boy has to say, "Thank you, uncle." Why? Because he knows there is nothing I can do here. I have no ability to retaliate. But when the small boy slaps a big uncle, and the uncle says, "Little boy, I am able to crush you to pieces, but no problem, I forgive you. Look at this. I can lift you up and throw you from this corner to that corner. But don't worry, I forgive you." Now you will say, "This uncle has very good qualities." What about another uncle who says, "Little boy, I am able to do all that. Not only am I forgiving you, here is a sweet. Don't do that again." We will say, "Oh, this uncle is even greater." Wallahi, these are examples of this world. The example of Allah, He is able to destroy us here and now because of the sins we have committed. But Allah says, "No, I will forgive you and I will still give you goodness in the world." Ya Allah, grant us a turning point. Ya Allah, grant us the understanding of your mercy. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about how death will come to you anywhere. There is no place you can hide. Not at all. There is no place that I can hide or you can hide. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah An-Nisa, أَيْنَمَا تَكُونُوا يُدْرِكُمُ الْمَوْتُ وَلَوْ كُنْتُمْ فِي بُرُوجٍ مُشَيَّدَةٍ. No matter where you are, death will come to you even if you are in well-built tall palaces. These towers, you want to be in a nice palace which is well-built. Allah says death will still come to you no matter how hard you try that it doesn't. And in Surah Al-Ahzab, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala words it differently. He says, قُلْ لَنْ يَنْفَعَكُمُ الْفِرَارُ إِنْ فَرَرْتُمْ مِنَ الْمَوْتِ أَوِ الْقَتْلِ وَإِذًا لَا تُمَتَّعُونَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. Say, running away will never help you if you think you can run away from death. You will never be able to run away from death or from being killed if that is written against you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us that understanding. So, this shows that it is something certain. No matter how strong we think we are, tomorrow the news will come, this man is no more, no more. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says in Surah Nuh, إِنَّ أَجَلَ اللَّهِ إِذَا جَاءَ لَا يُؤَخَّرُ. Definitely the prescribed time of Allah, when it comes, it won't be delayed. Your expiry date is written. You know how you get various commodities you buy, it says expiry date. Sometimes people eat it even after expiry, mashallah. Like I noticed many years back, the water, I don't know if the people will agree with me, water did not have expiry date before. Now they have, water also has expiry date. And then there is something else called best before. So one brother was having water which was after the date. I told him, "Brother, this water, the date is over." He told me, "No, best before does not mean worst after. It means it's okay even after that, it is not as good, but you can have it." So that is the difference between expiry date and best before date. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us goodness. With us, there is expiry date, and if you are lucky, you have a best before date. Let me explain it to you. Expiry meaning the date of death, the time of death is written, it's not going to change. But if we are lucky and Allah has given us a long life, He says that some of you, I have given you long life in order to understand, in order to turn. وَمِنْكُمْ مَنْ يُتَوَفَّى. Some of us, Allah says, some of you I take you away at young age. Young age I will take you away. It is my mercy. When Allah knows that it is best for you to go, you will go. That is why we should never be upset when our child has gone at a very young age. maybe tender age of 5 or 10 or 20 or something, young child is gone, don't be angry with Allah. It is the best thing that could have happened for the child and for you. Allah's knowledge is vast. So Allah says, وَمِنْكُمْ مَنْ يُرَدُّ إِلَىٰ أَرْذَلِ الْعُمُرِ. Some of you, I take them to old age where they are weak. And some are so weak. Allah wants to create a situation where those around the old person are given an opportunity to serve the old person. We use the word khidmah. To do the khidmah or to serve the old person. If there were no old people who were needing wheelchairs and assistance to walk, we would not have an act of worship known as assisting the elderly. So as a mercy for me and you who are young, Allah has kept old people who sometimes cannot walk to watch what we do. When we see them, do we help them? When they are our fathers, do we treat them in a way that we are proud of assisting them? Sometimes our parents might need our assistance to go to the toilet. How do we treat them when they treated us, taking us to the toilet for 2-3 years when we were babies? That is Allah's gift. So Allah knows when people are going to die. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made mention of this, that when the time of Allah comes, it is not going to be delayed. It is not going to be delayed not by 1 minute, this way or that way. Allah knows when the time is up.